Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Every decade, the Constitution requires the U.S. government to conduct an actual enumeration of its population. It's underway now. This count shapes how congressional seats and electoral college votes are determined, as well as guides how federal funding is distributed to states and local jurisdictions. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that 7,000 temporary census workers were hired last month. The count began in January in Alaska. By April 1st, Census Day, every U.S. household should have received a letter or a knock at the door. Casa de Maryland is a nonprofit that advocates for Latino and immigrant residents. Joining me to talk about Casa de Maryland's efforts to support the census is Central Maryland lead organizer Gabby Roque. Gabby, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why is the census important?
It's important for many reasons, a couple that you already mentioned. It's important because it decides how federal funding is going to be redistributed to the different states. And it also affects how many representatives that we have in the House of Representatives. But I think in a real symbolic way, it's also an important way for people to say that I'm here, that I'm part of this country, and that I deserve to be counted and seen by the government.
Who is supposed to complete the census?
Everybody who lives in the United States has to be counted in the census. So it's not just adults, it's children, it's elderly, it's immigrants, it's citizens. Every single person who resides in the United States on April 1st should be counted.
And what types of information is the census collecting?
The census collects very general information about people's demographics. So the first one obviously is how many people reside in the home, if they are renting or if they're owners, their race, if they're Latino or Hispanic, the ages of the people who live in the home, and just general questions like that.
And it's one per household?
It's usually one person, one application gets sent to every household. There might be multiple people living in one residence, and all those people can be counted in the same census application.
I mentioned determining electoral college vote seats in the House of Representatives and federal funding to the states. How else is the census information used?
I think that it also can give politicians or can give the government a sense of what issues might be important to the people living in that area. So it's also used to draw district lines. It's used to show what kind of demographics of people live in the area. So if there are a lot of elderly people who live in a certain area, maybe the government will provide more programs for that area. It's also a way for us to measure if our laws like affirmative action and laws that are supposed to make sure that there is an equality are actually being enforced. So especially when it comes to voting and making sure that the Voting Rights Act is being followed, that relies a lot on the census data.
That's Gabby Roque, Central Maryland lead organizer with Casa de Maryland. Here on the record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the group's efforts to spread the word about the 2020 census. When should people in Maryland expect to receive postcards, letters?
So very soon, actually, mid-March is usually when the invitations to fill out the census will be sent to people's households.
And I read that this year the census is pushing for more people to fill it out online.
Exactly. So there's actually three ways that people will be able to participate in the census, and that is online, via phone, or the paper application. But they really are encouraging people to try to fill it out online first. And so the first postcard people will receive is that invitation to fill it out online.
And then if they don't get a response to that?
Then if they don't get a response, they should get maybe like a reminder and then eventually get the paper application. And if they do not fill the paper application, that's when someone, a census taker, will actually try to come to the home and complete the survey.
If you don't speak English, is the census available in other languages?
Yes. It should be available in Spanish, and you can also call. Also, if someone has trouble understanding the census, they can always come to CASA, and we'll actually be helping people fill out the application in our centers.
We need to take a quick break. Gabby Roque, Central Maryland lead organizer with Casa de Maryland, will stick with us. And when we're back, a field worker talks about preparing people for the census. I'm Sheila Cass. First, here's Nathan to tell you why WYPR is counting on you. Nathan?
Our spring pledge drive is underway, and it is as easy as it can possibly be to help us bring you the news that matters. Come to WYPR.org, click the donate link, and make a contribution at whatever level works for you. And thanks.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. In the 2020 census, about 95% of housing units will receive their census invitations in the postal mail. The U.S. Census Bureau will send up to 5 mailings to encourage you to respond online, by mail, or by phone, all in hopes of gathering an accurate portrait of the American populace at this moment in time. Census data help guide how federal funding for housing, education, transportation, employment, health care, and other vital programs is distributed to state and local jurisdictions. I'm speaking with Gabby Roque, Central Maryland lead organizer with the nonprofit group Casa de Maryland, about their efforts to assist with the census. Joining us now is Swanee Villatoro, a census promoter with Casa de Maryland. Welcome, Swanee.
Thank you for having me.
So, Swanee, when you go out in the field, how do you talk to people about the census?
What we usually do, we try to inform them about how important it is for them to take the census. Many people that we do get, though, do not know about the census, so we give them a brief summary of what the census is.
So you start from scratch with a lot of people?
Yes.
Where have you been canvassing?
We've been to Dundalk, Columbia, Glen Burnie, Baltimore City, and many other different areas.
And what do you hear from people?
Well, many people that we've gotten are a little worried about doing the census. They first think that, one, we're trying to wear like a PG&E or something.
I'm sorry?
PG&E.
Oh, they think you're the utility.
Yeah, yes. What we also get is, especially from Spanish speakers, is, oh, I don't want to do that. And they try to hide behind the door. And that's when we try to, like, convince them a little bit more and give them more information. But that's usually what we receive when we go knocking on doors.
Gabby, describe Casa de Maryland's strategy for the census.
Well, CASA is a big grassroots organization, and so I think one of our strengths is that we actually go out into the field and we talk to people one-on-one, face-to-face, because we know that's the best way to reach our community and that's the best way to build confidence with people. So as Swanee was saying, CASA goes door-to-door talking to certain neighborhoods. We tend to target neighborhoods that have a dense immigrant population or a dense Latino population. We knock on doors where we already have some organizing efforts. So we're already familiar with the neighborhoods and the demographics of people who live there. So we go back to those neighborhoods. We'll usually spend about 4 hours knocking on doors. And the goal is to try to talk to as many people as possible. As Swanee said, a lot of people are pretty skeptical.
And I want to ask you about that. 2 years ago, the Trump administration advocated for including a citizenship question on the census. The Supreme Court blocked it. Several states challenged it. In a district court ruling in Maryland, federal judge George Hazel concluded that the citizenship question was, quote, arbitrary and capricious, close quote, and would violate the Constitution and the Federal Administrative Procedures Act. So I'm curious, Swanee, whether you find that a lot of people think there is a citizenship question.
Yes, many people, I think majority of the people that we get, think there's still a citizenship question on the census.
And how do they react when you tell them it's not there?
First, they're in shock because in the news, it's where they get that information. And since we're just an organization, and yes, we try to give them as much reassurance as possible, but if they see it on TV all the time, it's kind of hard for us to reassure them. But we try to inform them as much as we can. And some people tend to believe us because we're very persuasive, but some people don't really, and they need more time.
Gabby, I leapt to the conclusion that the reticence of people to respond was because of that question. What are the other reasons that people might be slow to respond?
What Swanee was saying is very true. I think when there was that debate about adding the citizenship question, that got a lot of news, that got a lot of publicity. But when that didn't happen when the court ruled not to add that question, that didn't make the headlines as much, I guess. And so people were left with that impression that the census is about enforcing criminal laws, or the census is about enforcing immigration laws, or the census is about figuring out who's a citizen and who is not a citizen. And we really try to break it down for people, and we say, even if, because CASA had always been prepared that if the Supreme Court had, you know, decided to allow that question, we still have to make sure that we're counted and our people are counted. And so we tell people, even if there was a citizenship question and you said, no, you're not a citizen, that doesn't mean automatically that you're an undocumented person. That could mean that you're a permanent resident. That could mean that you have a work permit. So we try to tell people that the administration wanting to add that question was specifically to try to get you not to be counted. I think some of the other reluctance people may have is just not really trusting people, asking about their personal information. I think nowadays people are very protective about the kind of information that they share with other people, that they share with anyone.
I meant to pick up on this when you mentioned it earlier. Responding to the census is not optional, right? It's not voluntary.
Everyone needs to fill out the census. It's not a volunteer thing, but I don't know how well that is actually enforced if you don't fill out the census. We tell people, if you really don't want someone knocking on your door, you should fill out the census on your own.
Swani, aside from the citizenship question, what other concerns do you pick up from people behind those doors you knock on?
I feel like there's many different concerns they have. I think, like Gabby was saying, they're really protective about their information. They don't want to give you your phone number, their real name or last name. Many people have been knocking on doors, especially in Colombia, where they fake their organization and they use their name and they use their phone number for different things. Like there was a case with this guy. He thought this fake organization came to him, said it would help him because he was going through something, a rough time, and instead they up his bill twice the amount, and he was paying it like every other 2 weeks. So for him, it was really hard to get him to try to do the pledge with us.
Do the pledge. Tell me about the pledge.
Once the census does come out, what we're going to do is we're going to send them the link of the census online. What we tell them is, hey, do you promise to do the census once it does come out? Many people don't like taking pledges because they don't want to be forced to do something. But once we do tell them how important it is to do the census, they're okay. They're like, okay, yeah, well, I'm going to need a reminder of doing the census. So we tell them, yeah, we'll send you this link, and it'll be really easy and shareable. So many people do it with us.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Gabby Roque, Central Maryland lead organizer with Casa de Maryland, and Swani Villatoro, who's spreading the word about the census. What is the potential impact if large numbers of people, particularly in the Latino community, decline to answer the census?
One of the most obvious things would, I think, be ESOL support in our schools.
English for speakers of other languages could
exactly. be I think that one of the main ways that we try to motivate people in the Latino community to be counted, even though if they're undocumented, they will not be eligible for many of the federal funded programs that the census provides funding for. But we tell them to think about their children's schools, to make sure that their schools are well funded, that they understand the needs of the people in the community who live here, that there are government documents in Spanish, or that there's just more bilingual workers in the government. I think it's important if Spanish speakers or people, Latinx, if the Latinx community decides not to be counted, I think that we'll be hurting ourselves in a huge way, because it's so important that we are counted and that we are represented in the government. The Latino population has really grown a lot, especially in the last 10 years. And that's actually a question that we ask people on the doors. We say, do you think that the Latino population has grown a lot in the last 10 years? And they're like, yes. Oh my gosh, so much. There was only one taco truck here, and now there are three. So they recognize that their population is growing. And I think that the U.S. is kind of having a response to that, especially this our current administration doesn't want to acknowledge the way that maybe demographics are shifting. So I think it's important for the immigrant community, I think it's important for the Latinx community to say that we're here and we're part of this community, we deserve to be counted, our needs deserve to be met, and this is what's important to us. And also to not be seen as a population that takes away, but by all of us being counted, we're actually going to be making sure that the state is receiving all the funding that it deserves and all the funding that our communities need. So I think getting Latino communities to be involved civically and being counted is one of those ways that we're telling them that they are part of this country and what they do matters, and they deserve to be seen and supported by the government here.
Maryland is one of about half the states that putting their own money, some money of their own, into spreading the word about the census, because the federal government seems to be doing less than it has in previous decennial censuses. Do you see, Swanee, you're out there on the streets, do you see any evidence of state workers somehow spreading the word also?
No, actually, I haven't seen anyone other than us knocking on doors. Sometimes we do get someone who has worked for the census before, and they tell us about their experience, and we're like, they're like, wow, I'm so grateful you guys are doing this, because they didn't get the word that the census was coming out this year.
So what is your major advice to someone who's just learning about the census?
The census, my major advice is telling them how important it is and how this is the result of the census is going to change our communities for the next 10 years.
Well, I appreciate your giving us a preview. Thank you very much, both of you.
Sure, thank you.
Gabby Roque is Central Maryland lead organizer with Casa de Maryland. Swanee Villatoro is a field worker with the group spreading the word about the census. Unlike the census, giving to WYPR is optional, but Nathan wants to talk to you about why it's a good choice. Nathan?
Our spring pledge drive is underway, and it is as easy as it can possibly be to help us bring you the news that matters. Come to WYPR.org, click the donate link, and make a contribution at whatever level works for you. And thanks.